Hello and welcome to Hit the Target podcast powered by Hollywood Bets. The 2022 FIFA World Cup is just around the corner and excitement levels around the globe are at an all-time high. I'm Chad Nagel, editor of Soccer Betting News as well as your host for today. And joining me in the studio is Joshua Gaylord, who's also an editor at SBN. And we have Desh Patab, who represents Hollywood Bets. Gentlemen, welcome.
How's it? Thanks for having me.
How's it to all the listeners? Nice to be here in the studio with everyone, chatting about the FIFA World Cup. When isn't it a big one? And every single 4 years, it just gets even bigger.
Yeah, I'm excited about this tournament. As is always the case, whenever there's a World Cup, we get to see the greatest teams, the greatest players, and just an opportunity for the up-and-coming talents as well.
Yeah, I mean, in 2010, we all got to experience it, whether you got to go to a game or not. That you could feel the anticipation. It was tangible in the air wherever you went, whether it was the mall, whether you were traveling in public transports. I mean, I used a train for the first time in South Africa going to one of the games. Like, everything was different in the country. All the people were excited, and to witness such a big thing, I mean, we know how much it means for the people maybe in Qatar. They're excited. It's intangible unless you are there.
Yeah, I know. For me, that was probably my first taxi ride. Actually,
is it?
Yeah. So we went to the stadium in the taxis. I think they had shut the roads off up to a certain point, and you had to commute like that. I was especially excited to see those fan parks because there were plenty of people.
A couple of those.
Who couldn't get into the stadium. Fortunately, I watched the Spain versus Switzerland game. It was Spain's opening game, which they lost on their way to winning the World Cup.
Yeah.
So that was a nice experience for me.
Well, gents, we have a lot to discuss in this podcast. We're going to be talking contenders to win the tournament, dark horses, who's going to pick up the individual awards, and we're also going to touch on some players to watch. Let's start off with the contenders, and maybe we should just kick off with the favorites, Brazil, who are priced up at 4-1 to win the tournament. Josh, are Brazil rightly, deservedly labeled as the favorites for the tournament? Are they the most complete squad going into Qatar 2022?
I think for Brazil, they always should be among the top three, in my opinion. They've won the most trophies. For them, we know, even from the 2014 World Cup, a lot of stories coming out of there. And for Brazilian players, they know that if they don't win a World Cup, doesn't matter if they've won the Champions League, they've won the biggest cups other than the World Cup. Their fans don't give them the praise that they maybe should get in the world view. But for the Brazilians, we know that if you don't have the World Cup under your belt, then they don't rate
it's
you.
It's important.
It's very important.
So is this for Neymar? Yes, to win it?
Yes, I think definitely. We saw back in 2014, I think it was against, was it Ecuador or Colombia? I think Colombia. Yes. Yeah. He ended up going out in the quarters he broke one of his vertebrae in his back. That was like a telling a moment for them. And at the same time, in the same match, they lost Thiago Silva for the semis against Germany. And that was extremely disappointing.
That was forgettable.
For most of those guys. Forgettable in the sense that you wouldn't want it on your record.
Yeah.
But they remember it clearly. They came out in the following World Cup in Russia, and they looked a menace, and Thibaut Courtois just stopped them in their tracks. I think he maybe made 11 saves or 12 saves with shots on goal, let alone the blocks from the defenders and the like. Yeah. And they crashed out again. But this one, I think if we're looking at a squad that's finally come of age, yes, there's always youngsters in the squad, but a next generation that's finally come of age, this is their time to shine. I think Brazil rightfully are the favorites heading into this one.
Desh, you agree with that? Brazil, favorites to win the tournament?
Yeah, I do think that they are the favorites. For me, it would have to be, the key player, Neymar.
Yeah.
To be a great, you have to win. You know, you can, no matter how many goals you score, assists, creativity, chances, you, at the end of the game, you literally just have to be on the winning side. And I think that's what he'll be remembered for. I think that's probably why PSG bought him for the Champions League. You know, I think he was in that final, which they lost to Bayern. And it's you know, that's,
yeah,
it's going to be his, I don't want to say his curse, but they really, he needs to get a major trophy. And I'm sure he'll be fancying his chances over here. The attack is looking very good. And it's just about if they can gel together for the duration of the tournament.
Perhaps with the likes of, you know, Anthony, there's Richarlison, there's Neymar and Vinicius as well. There's a couple of attacking. Arguably, Brazil have the best attack going into the World Cup. But what about their defense, Josh? Obviously, I'm sure you, as an Arsenal fan, you probably are a bit gutted for Gabriel, who's performed so well at the back for Arsenal this season. And he's obviously missed out on selection. Yes, Firmino missing out is kind of a big deal because he's a big name player. But Gabriel missing out, how's that defense looking for you?
I think for Gabriel's sake, it's fine for him. Yes, I'm sure he is gutted, but he's extremely young. I think he's 23 or 24. He'll play in the next one. If he maintains the level that he's at at Arsenal, he'll most definitely play in the next one. We've seen some aging defenders in Brazil. Last time out was Thiago Silva and David Luiz. David Luiz is out. Thiago Silva, this is definitely his last one. He'll slot in after that. So you can't not put Thiago Silva in. He's proved himself for Brazil over the years.
Yeah.
And this is his final one to shine again. For me, if I was the manager, I probably would have also put in Thiago Silva over Gabriel. But I think the center back pairings at Brazil at the moment are decent.
What about Dani Alves coming in?
So again, a similar situation whereby it's a guy who has won everything, has the most trophies for any professional player in the world, bar the World Cup. This is his final chance. You can't not slot him in. You have to respect what he's done and put him into the team. That's just how I feel. But they do have youngsters there, more so in the attack, that two of the youngest players in the tournament, in Gabriel Martinelli and Rodrigo. Those guys going forward. But defensively, I think Brazil, they aren't the strongest defensively. It's shown in the past that they can let a couple goals slide. But starting from the back, Alisson, even though Liverpool might not be playing well, they could be much worse off if it wasn't for him. And going into this World Cup, he is going to be key. One-on-one saves is essential when it comes to Brazil. They often get caught out on the counter more often than not. That's what happened with them against Belgium. That's how come they went out in the 2018. So I believe that Alisson will be key. The wingbacks, they aren't the best wingbacks. Brazil have had better in the past, but I believe the guy from Juventus.
Bremer, I think it's Martin Bremer.
Martin Bremer, yes, that him. And then Alex Telles has been performing in the qualifiers leading into this cup. So the defense, they are a bit shaky. They can get caught on the counter. But
they have enough quality.
They have enough quality going forward.
Sorry, I think I made an error. I think you were looking for Alexandro. He's the wing back.
There we go.
Also from Juventus. But Martin Bremer, he's the center back for them.
So, Desh, I want to move on to the second favorites of the tournament. You know, we were talking about Neymar, how Neymar has to win the World Cup in order to put himself as a, I don't know, Hall of Famer, can we say. What about Argentina? They have a great squad, and we talk about players wanting to prove something in their final World Cup. Surely Lionel Messi right up there. And while Brazil are obviously the favorites, and I think we all agree that they are justified in their favorites tag, Argentina managed to avoid defeat against Brazil in the qualifiers leading up to the tournament.
In fact, they've managed to avoid defeat for a lot more than that. I think from the Copa Libertadores, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's 2 years.
Yeah. They've been on unbeaten streak.
It's like for 2 years now. I don't think that's going to continue in the World Cup just because that's football and this is competition at its finest. You know, they reached the final, was it 2014, eh?
Yes.
2014 World Cup final, as close as you can come for that man. And, it's another one that's just going to haunt him, you know, national team success obviously is, you can say is top, the other the other one.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo there, of course, winning silverware with Portugal. The big differentiator between the two, other than their domestic, the club affiliations. But when it comes to country, I think he really needs this one.
Yeah, he's come close, you know, in the 2018 World Cup, obviously a losing, 2014, sorry.
Yes,
a losing finalist to Germany. And he, you know, he, I remember that game, he played well. I mean, he wasn't at his best, but he created a lot of opportunities. We remember Gonzalo Higuain missing a couple of chances. So it could have been a different outcome for him on that day.
Yeah, I think Lionel Messi, he's proved himself on the world stage. Unfortunately, in the 2014 one, he ended up getting the Golden Ball Award
that tournament. Yeah.
So he's able to prove himself, and I don't think anybody doubts his ability. It's just about getting across the line, and you need a team around you to get across the line. I think Argentina do have that kind of team this campaign. They have a strong defense, and I think that's what will get them across the line. I think a good couple clean sheets leading into this World Cup with the qualifiers, as well as with that the South American CONMEBOL, they ended up winning that. And going even toe-to-toe with Italy in that new tournament, the Finalissima. I think...
Winning 3-0.
I think they've got a good squad of players. The South Americans, in my opinion, are the favourites heading into this tournament. It would be interesting to see them in a final. I'm not too sure what the bracket looks like, if that is a possibility. Whether they meet in the semis or the final. I think that's a final before the final. When Brazil and Argentina meet, that's will be an interesting tie. But they... I think their first game, Saudi Arabia, it's a warm-up game, in my opinion. Not that you don't put out your best team, not that you don't put out your best, don't put your best foot forward.
It's a nice opportunity to make a statement.
Make a statement in the opening round.
Well, Josh, I'm going to stay with you. We're going to talk France next. They are the defending champions. They do have a star-studded squad. I think had Paul Pogba and N'Golo Kante been the side, then perhaps some of us would be saying that France have the best squad on paper going into the tournament. But without their key midfield duo, how do you rate their chances?
France are always a threat. They've got the history. They've won it before. And they've always had quality players. And it's just a thing of losing out that midfield. It's tough for them. Their centre-backs, I know Varane did go with the squad, even though he is injured. Maybe he'll be able to feature later in the tournament, but they do have centre-backs to replace them that are along the same lines of quality. But when it comes to that midfield pairing, it's a big miss. I know Mbappe stole the headlines in 2018, but that midfield pairing, they were the engine room. They did all the hard work, in my opinion. They do have Eduardo Camavinga, who was a Champions League winner at the age of, 19, I believe. And then he has been playing alongside Tchouaméni. So they do have an understanding, but they don't... The World Cup is another stage. It's a different stage.
Yeah.
There's so much more pressure playing for your country than playing for a club. It's the biggest tournament in the world, let alone just football. So it's going to be tough for them. They now have Karim Benzema, Ballon d'Or winner, up front, who can put in goals. And behind him is Giroud, who has proved himself for France, has scored so many goals for them. Coming up on Thierry Henry's record in scoring goals for France.
Coming off a fantastic season at AC
with
Milan.
With AC Milan as well. Yeah. So they have quality around the pitch, but that engine room is so crucial. It's so key that it just takes a little bit away from them, that you find yourself looking at other teams to take this one.
Desh, what do you make of the likes of Camavinga and Tchouaméni?
I think there's a lot of new faces in that team, and I'm not sure if they're going to gel as well as people think or rather expect. For me, I think a certainty... is Giroud breaking that record? I think he'll have a good tournament if he gets the minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be favoured. I mean, I'm sure Griezmann and Benzema will be favoured to him. But, in their group, they've got Australia, Denmark, Tunisia. I think he'll definitely get a 90 somewhere in there, or at least a 60 minutes. And for me, I'll be backing him to break that record. Other than that, I'm anticipating problems in Emmett Field. I'm not sure if they're going to be as convincing as in the past. Kante has really, he hasn't played much.
Yeah.
And he has been such an integral part of that team.
Yeah.
You know, you've also got a new man in William Saliba.
Yeah.
Is he going to play? Is he there as a squad player?
Yeah.
Yet to be decided. They're not my favorites, shall I say.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to talk about two more contenders before we move on. I know, Josh, you've backed England to win the tournament. I want you to tell us why, and then we'll move on to Desh. You've backed Netherlands to win the tournament. So I just want to, both of you guys can just take the listeners through as to why you've gone with such a bold prediction, because England are priced up at 8-1. Josh says it's coming home. Netherlands are 14-1. So Josh, let's start off with England.
England have slowly but surely proven themselves. That is the substance for why I feel like they can take this World Cup. We can go back a little bit. It's 2020, the Euros. They make it all the way to the final and only concede one goal before heading into the final. That's from a set piece. Mikael Damsgaard scores, I think, in a 30-something minute to score a brilliant goal, by the way. But they come back, they show some grit. They show some determination, knowing that they can still get into the game and end up winning 2-1. Go to a final. It's against Italy, the Ravers Italy. People are naming Ballon d'Ors from the Italy squad. They've come in with a record unbeaten in, I think it was 40-something games, I believe. And they end up missing out on a penalty, one penalty. And if we go back before that, it's 2018, they're in Russia, it's a World Cup, they come all the way to a semi-final, and that was a previous slip-up. They proved themselves a similar squad, whereby there's all those young players, the mixture is there from young players to older players to players kind of hitting their stride and in their prime. It's a similar squad still. Yes, they've brought in a James Maddison,
but
why wouldn't you bring in a James Maddison? Yeah. The man is scoring for Leicester. He's carried them through in the Premier League at the moment. Yeah. You bring in youngsters like Jude Bellingham, who I believe is one of the top three generational talent coming into a World Cup where he is so mature. He's such a mature player for his age. I remember listening to a interview with Wayne Rooney asking when he played against him, I think it was when he was still playing for Birmingham or something of the sort. And Wayne Rooney said this player, one thing he likes about him is every time you get into contact with him, you feel a boot was left on you. And for a young player to play against older players like that, you know that he's ready for a bigger stage to etch his name. And that's the midfield. Alongside him is Declan Rice, who's proven himself time and time again in the last two major tournaments. So he's a player who's going to allow Bellingham to go forward a lot more often. And for me, an engine room is key. And they've got that. They've got that in
heaps also brings of quality. A nice balance.
Definitely. We know that Gareth Southgate is a very defensive coach.
Yeah.
He doesn't allow his players to express themselves as much as most managers might. But he finds a good balance with that, whereby he's got three attacking players. One, only Harry Kane, who won the Golden Boot in 2018. I believe he can possibly do it again this season. But England have showed that there is a steady progression with similar players, young players who are now experienced on a big stage. I think they've still got a lot to learn. And going forward, they could even do even greater things in 2026. But I think that they can actually shock everybody this World Cup.
Well, Josh, certainly makes a case for England. And I think if you are a fan of the English, at 8 to 10, they are well worth the punt. Desh, tell us why Netherlands have your money.
I want to say that it's the unpredictability of the Dutch. You know, they have really
shocked.
The best
team never to win.
And, again, like, I like what I see when I look at them. If I had to start from the top, Depay, he has been their poster boy for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has had some big names on his CV. Look at your United's, Barcelona's.
Yeah.
And
I believe he's playing for a move away as well in January.
Mm, yeah. So this is his time to shine. If alongside him, I'm expecting Steven Bergwijn. Bergwijn.
Yeah.
Mm. To play a former Tottenham man on fire at Ajax at the moment. So he's also another one that has proven that he has what it takes to unnerve defenders. He's obviously the more energetic of the two, and I think he will continue the attack, whereas Depay will probably look to finish those off, you know, apply the finishing touch behind them.
Explosive, Dumfries.
Yeah,
on the
wide. Yeah, I can definitely see like a three attack. You know, Dumfries shifting like really high up to maybe like a false winger almost.
Yeah,
He's got some really good numbers for Inter. And I can see him taking two or three goals for himself. The cam will probably be Cody Gakpo. His numbers are insane in the Eredivisie. Yeah. He's taken 51 shots. 51. The only player to have taken more than 50 in that league. 51.
Sure.
Returning 9 goals. He is the top scorer in the Dutch league, the Dutch top flight currently. Further than that, he's created 60 chances. That's level with Dusan Tadic. This is one man we're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroying, bagged 12 assists in his time. And I'm very excited to see what he can do. I do think that Frankie de Jong will help him be the player that he is. You know, de Jong is really like an adaptive player to what the team needs. And I can see him trying to... give Gakpo as much space and time that he needs to really impose himself on the team. I'm not sure who his center mid pairing would be. There's a lot of players that can also slot in depending on their opposition.
Well, look, you certainly are making a case. I mean, 14-1, that's sky high odds. And, you know, you're naming some quality players in there. So, you know, it definitely goes to show the amount of quality at the tournament.
I think the Netherlands, for me, in 2010, I was back in the Netherlands. I went to watch them play against Japan, and they have a fan base that come out in numbers.
Yeah.
And you can see it. It's just a big, they're known as the Orange Army.
Yeah.
And they painted from head to toe in orange. Yeah. They've got...
I think I remember that in 2010. Got,
There was this one guy that came in with a full orange suit, with medals along his suits, and their fan base is loud as ever. Their fan base is strong. They've always had good quality players. I remember Wesley Schneider was their star man in 2010 for me. He ran that midfield. And there's even youngsters coming up now, like you mentioned, in Cody Gakpo, alongside Xavi Simmons, who's uncapped, but that guy is brilliant.
Yeah.
He's able to maneuver himself into positions that most midfielders can't get into. I think if he can come in and perform, he's possibly one of the players that can win the Young Player of the Tournament award.
No, interesting. And I think both of you did well in your defense and voices for Netherlands and England. And I think they'll go quite far in the tournament.
And for the listeners, or well, for myself included, we'd like to hear who you are tooting for.
Yeah,
for the
World Cup. In fact... that's what we want to do right now. We want to go to our listeners and we want to give you an opportunity to comment. Just tell us who you think will win the tournament at Qatar. And if your comment impresses our panel of judges, we will credit your accounts with a 500 Rand betting voucher courtesy of Hollywood Bet. So all you have to do is let us know who is going to win the tournament and why. And now we move on to the dark horses. Very quickly on this one, let me just call out some odds, some team and their odds. Denmark are 28-1, Uruguay 40-1, Croatia 50-1, Senegal are 125-1, and obviously Lewandowski's Poland. I've included them as well. They are 150-1. Who can we make a case for from those list of teams as a potential dark horse to go far in this tournament?
I really think Croatia aren't as dark as people make them out to be. They've had some really strong numbers of recent. I don't think they're going to do particularly well this season. Yeah. Or, I mean, this in this tournament.
50-1.
Yeah, I think...
might be worth it.
Possibly. I mean, they did come closest to lifting the trophy last time out. And they have had some really solid players leave their team.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's not Mandzukic.
You know, they had... I think even Subasic was a very underrated player for them. Yeah. You know, the goalkeeper, he had... By the time that they had reached the final, they had played almost a whole 90 minutes over France.
Sure.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
After the group stages, they had two games that went to extra time.
Yeah.
Two penalty shootouts. Yeah. The mental pressure that team would have been on was insane. For me, it's well done to them to actually reach the final. Of course, Luka Modric being the star for them, winning, I think, the Golden Ball.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Captain Fantastic over there, and he's been chosen, again, to lead the line for them this season. I mean, this term with a really new-look side.
Well, look, for me, I'm liking Senegal. I think, for an African team, they are probably Africa's biggest hope. I think it's a huge boost to have Sadio Mane included in the squad. Yes, we know that he's not 100% fit, and... he would rely on his teammates to perhaps get them through the round of 16. Perhaps for him to feature. I don't think he's match ready, but I do think they have a quality team. You've got players like, you know, Chelsea's duo of Koulibaly, Edouard Mendy. You've got Idrissa Gueye, who's back at Everton now. And, you know, Sadio Mane, they've got such a quality team. And I think also the condition, as an African team, used to playing in that heat. European teams, not so much. So I think all of that could play at an advantage to them. And, you know, I would like to see them go far. So I would include Senegal as a possible for Africa. Perhaps even semi-finals, it really wouldn't shock me, but all depends on Sadio Mane. That's the key for me. Sadio Mane, the runner-up golden boy, runner-up best player for Ballon d'Or. I think he is crucial to his country's chances.
For me, I'd have to go with Denmark. There's for this World Cup, there's so many great stories leading into this World Cup, so many players that... won't feature in the next one, like your Cristianos, your Lionel Messi, Neymar saying he's going to retire after the World Cup, Karim Benzema, Lewandowski, the list goes on. And another one in that list is Christian Eriksen. We backtrack a bit to 2020.
Yeah.
Almost tragedy. I mean, the whole football world comes to a standstill.
Yeah.
We almost lose a player on the field.
Yeah.
And... fast track
the turnaround that he's made.
Let alone Christian Eriksen, we see Denmark go on and put in a great performance, make it all the way to a semi-final, and lose by a Harry Kane penalty in additional extra time.
Carry that form into the qualifiers to qualify for Qatar.
They've got great quality in players. They've proven that they've gelled so well together as a team. Yes, it might have been a difficult period, but that kind of thing also brings a team together. They want to fight for each other more. And then the redemption story for Christian Eriksen, getting a chance at Brentford Football Club, then taking a step up, Manchester United giving him a chance, proving himself again. It's the World Cup. That team... is for me has a great mentality alongside quality from all of the teams that we would consider dark horses, and I think that them going into this World Cup they could cause some upsets, making a semi final yet again.
Well, I think so. I think Denmark are certainly a dangerous team. They are fearless. That's what I love about them, and they have quality players. I mean, Damsgaard, Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, If you the listeners out there that do take a bet, I think they could even top the group against France, who are lacking in a bit of quality in the midfield.
Wow, that would be bold, but also not unthinkable.
Yeah,
with the quality Denmark possess. Let's just breeze through these. So there is an obvious a player of the tournament award known as the Golden Ball. We do have a top goal scorer award for the Golden Boot. And also the Golden Glove, which goes to the goalkeeper of the tournament. I think it's judged on clean sheets, on the most clean sheets. Let's start with the player of the tournament. I'm going to call out some names with some odds. And Lionel Messi is 9-1. He's the favorite. Kylian Mbappe, 10-1. Karim Benzema, 12-1 to win player of the tournament. Neymar's also 12-1, while Kevin De Bruyne is 14-1. Harry Kane is 16-1. For those of you who are following Josh's prediction of England. And Cristiano Ronaldo, lots of talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. He is priced up at 25-1. I don't think we've ever seen odds that high on Cristiano Ronaldo to win a player of the tournament.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot going on at the moment. But the professionalism at Portugal should shine. And the quality will definitely shine. He's going to start, in my opinion. I don't
it'll
see
be
why.
It will be crazy if he doesn't.
And I think that Portugal, for me, a lot of people, including myself, we know what this could do for football. Portugal versus Argentina in a final.
It's a dream final. It's Messi versus Ronaldo. One of them has to get their hands on the World Cup. And one of them will also end that debate, probably.
More than likely. So when it comes to Ronaldo being priced up so heavily, I think it's a little bit disrespectful. He scored.
Well, he's been disrespected for the last couple of weeks now.
I think the pricing is a little bit disrespectful. I think that he can still shine. A lot of the players are still playing for him. They've come out in the recent press conferences saying that they looked up to Ronaldo as children and they are amazed that they get to play with him. They're going to fight. They know what's on the line for him. And similarly, when it comes to those other names that you mentioned, like your Neymar, like your Messi, the players around them know what it means for specific players. They've looked up to them their whole lives. I think that Ronaldo's, the pricing is a little bit off there for me.
Okay, so let me ask you, Josh, who's winning player of the tournament?
I have to go with Neymar here.
Neymar, 12-1.
12-1, that's my backing. I think I've mentioned a lot about him already, and that's my pick.
Okay. Desh, who's winning player of the tournament?
For me, it's Kevin De Bruyne.
Kevin De Bruyne, 14-1.
I think he's the one for me. Belgium are looking very solid.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what's happening with the attack. Is it Lukaku? Is it Michy Batshuayi? We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Carrasco. I don't know. But
he's the Strasser as well.
Yeah. And he's also been outperforming himself, by the way.
Probably the best pick of the lot.
Yeah. okay. You might be alone on that one. But I think De Bruyne is a really quality player. And this is his, I think this is going to be his tournament. Eh? Might not be Belgium's. Yeah. But I think it's going to be his tournament.
Oh, interesting. I'm just going to try to be difficult. And out of respect, I'm going to say Cristiano Ronaldo. 25-1. Now let's go to the top scorer, Golden Boot. Harry Kane is the favorite, surprisingly. He's priced up at 7-1. Kylian Mbappe is 9-1. Karim Benzema, 12-1. Messi, 12-1. Neymar, 12-1. And Ronaldo, 16-1. Josh, who's winning the Golden Boot?
I wouldn't say surprisingly. The 2018 Golden Boot winner. Yeah. Harry Kane, and they made it to the semis. He's on penalties. We know that. He's so close to breaking records for England.
Yeah. He takes everything. Even throw-ins for England.
I think Harry Kane definitely gets the tip here for Golden Boots winner.
Okay. Well, it matches your outright prediction. Desh?
I think I'm going to go with Kevin De Bruyne again. I know he's not on that list.
Yeah. But, well, there is pricing available for him.
I think... You see, I've looked at the numbers. De Bruyne is really outperforming himself.
He is an assist maker, though, but you say this time he'll produce the goals.
He produced a beautiful goal to knock out England. Brazil.
Yeah.
On the counter attack in 2014. I mean, he could do it again.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the one. You know, he's probably going to be on penalties as well. Probably on free kick duty. Yeah. There's so many other routes to goal that I think he's going to be on.
Yeah.
And Belgium are pretty good at set pieces as well. Their group has Canada and Morocco. I can't see either of those countries keeping a clean sheet against them.
Yeah.
It's going to be goals there. No, once he gets in the swing of things, I'm sure he'll be their man.
Look, I'm sure there'll be good odds on him to deliver and get the top goal scorer award. The goalkeeper of the tournament, we have Alisson, who's the favorite, 9-2. Thibaut Courtois, 5-1. Manuel Neuer, 6-1. Unai Simon, 6-1. And Hugo Lloris, 13-2. There was a lot of talk about Hugo Lloris. Many thought that he might not even be France's number one shot stopper going into Qatar, especially with the seasons that what is the guy's name from AC Milan, the goalkeeper?
Steve Mangnan, if I'm saying his name right.
Steve, and now Mangnan has not even been selected, surprisingly. Mm. We don't know if it's through injury or what it is. So Hugo Lloris has an opportunity. All depends on France, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he is going to be the number one keeper for them. But again, I'm not really expecting big things from France. I know they are coming in as favourites. If I look at Spain, Unai Simon, I can't really see them keeping many clean sheets as well. Manuel Neuer, Germany, again, he's a good goalkeeper. You know, no disrespect to him, but I also don't know if Germany are gonna keep it together. For me, Thibaut Courtois, again, Belgium, very, very. I can see big things coming from them, and he gets my pick for the golden glove. I'm not sure if Alisson is going to play over Ederson, eh? I don't know.
I think Alisson does play over Ederson. Yeah. I think that for me, shot-stopping-wise, I think Alisson is better than Ederson. And he can play out from the back. We've seen him do it with Liverpool on a good couple of occasions. I like your shout for Courtois.
Yeah.
He makes excellent saves.
Arguably the best goalkeeper in the world right now.
Definitely. And the way that Belgium sets up too as well, they are counter-attacking and they obviously utilize Courtois to get the ball forward in heaps towards Lukaku. Where he starts, we'll have to see. But I'm going to stick with my guns here. Jordan Pickford is the number one at England. I know you don't have him on your list there. I'm not too sure what the odds are.
No, for a reason we didn't have him.
But Jordan Pickford has proved himself in England colours, as well as for Everton of reasons. His shot stopping is good. The only thing that somehow proves shaky every now and again is with the set piece. But I feel that we've seen how England sets up, like I've mentioned already, Gareth Southgate, it is defensive. Conceding goals is not their forte. They went all the way to the semi-finals of the Euros without conceding a goal. So we can expect that again from them. They don't have a tough group. It's Iran. It's USA and Wales. Yeah. So they arguably they have the easiest group. With all due respect to the other nations that are there, arguably England have the easiest group first and foremost. I expect them to come out of that without even conceding the goal. The only danger for them will have to be Gareth Bale and Wales. So that's three clean sheets in the bag for Jordan Pickford, in my opinion, already. And as they go on forward, most pundits and fans and everybody have been doing their charts to see who's got the easiest route, who's got the toughest route. And England yet again show up with the easiest route towards the final. Jordan Pickford gets the golden glove, in my opinion.
Wow. Okay, well, if that happens, Josh, I feel like I should give you my money.
you heard it here first on the Hit the Target podcast.
Josh, can you? SBN are running a competition in this week's World Cup edition. Can you just tell our listeners about it?
So every match day, every match week, we will be selecting a fixture where the listeners, our viewership, so can predict a score.
Yeah.
If you get the score right, we are giving away a 500 rand betting voucher, courtesy of Hollywood Bets. This week, if you follow our social media on Twitter, on Facebook, look out for the competition. It will be the opening fixture, which is Qatar versus Ecuador. Comment, let us know who you think will win and by how many goals. And if you get it correct, you stand a chance to win a 500 rand betting voucher, courtesy of Hollywood Bets.
Great. We're going to wrap this up, gents. And before we do, just quickly, just one name. Try ignore the obvious big names. I just need a player to watch. Josh, a player to watch. Desh, just a player to watch.
Let's Cody Gakpo. Definitely Cody Gakpo. I think he's going to be, the world will want him right after this.
Josh, you?
There's so many players here that I can
rattle
some names
off. I just need one.
I think the player to watch, definitely, I'm going with youngsters. When he starts, if he starts, which is more than likely, young player in League One last season, he was the player in 2019-20 for his loan club. At the moment, he's top of the log in the English Premier League with his club Arsenal. William Saliba has shown so much composure in such big moments. Even stopping, there's a video that I love to see every now and again. stopping Kylian Mbappe, his teammate, in a game with Olympique Marseille versus PSG, catching up to Kylian Mbappe with pace from a big center half. It's something that it's hard to deny. I think that this guy, if you watch him in the World Cup, you will see the composure from a 21-year-old that is nothing like I've personally ever seen before. William Saliba is the one to watch for me.
My player to watch will be Trossard. I think he's had a great season. He's currently enjoying with Brighton. I think he'll carry that going into Qatar for his nation. Well, that's a wrap, gents. Thank you for joining me on the studio to discuss the World Cup. I think we've covered quite a bit. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We just want to wish you well with your betting, and we hope that you enjoy the World Cup. Also, just a reminder that you about the competition, our score predictor competition, as well as of where we are giving away a 200 Rand betting voucher. If you can tell us who you think will win the World Cup and why. Thanks, guys. That's it from us.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
It's coming home.